Many of us will be exchanging gifts with family throughout this week or over the next couple of weeks here at the end of the year, at this holiday season. And some of those gifts will be very meaningful, very useful. They'll demonstrate love and care and concern and consideration. And some of those gifts will be tokens that simply said, hey, I thought of you. Some of those gifts will be absolutely and utterly useless, and we'll be wondering if the person thought about us at all. But all of those gifts that are given are certainly meaningful to us, and we're excited about that time to give and to receive, and we talked a little bit about that this morning. But the bigger question that I would like for us to think during this time of giving and receiving and the gifts, I'd like for us to take our minds away from video games and DVDs and clothes and gizmos and gadgets. And I'd like for us to think about the greatest gift that has ever been given. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, John says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever might believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." This is the greatest gift that has ever been given. And that gift is not the cute little baby in a manger. That gift is who that grew up to be. The man who went to the cross, who was beaten, who was scourged, who was mocked and ridiculed, who bled and died for us, whose blood was shed so that our sins might be taken away, who died on the cross and went into the ground and on the third day arose. That is God's great gift to us. As we read moments ago in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, while we were yet enemies, God gave us that gift. And my question for you tonight is, what are you going to do with God's gift? There are a lot of things we do with the gifts that are given to us, and I'd like for us to kind of walk through some of those tonight, because really what we do with the gifts that other people give us are about the same options we have for what we're going to do with this gift. I'd like for us to walk through about six options that we have with God's gift. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, you are the great creator. You are the sovereign ruler of the universe, and we are in awe of you. And we are in awe because when you looked at us who have rebelled against you, who have spit upon you, who have turned away from you, who have been your enemies, having sinned and followed our own idols, you sent your Son to die for us on the cross so that we might be spared your wrath. You poured your wrath out on him that we might have peace and joy and eternity with you. Thank you so much for your good gift, Father. And I pray that we might accept it and allow it to fill our hearts and minds and govern our lives, that we might share your blessing with others. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us first. Through your Son we pray. Amen. When it comes to the gifts that people give us, the very first thing, the very first option that we have is we can reject it. The gift that God has offered us, we can reject it. I remember one time years ago, a gift that I had purchased for Marita. She had asked for it. She had been begging for it. She had said a birthday, a Christmas, I don't know how long it had been. She said, "I really want a George Foreman grill." And so, one Christmas I got her a George Foreman grill because I know how to listen. Like 2 days later, she came up and sheepishly said to me, "Would it upset you greatly if I took this back?" Here I am talking about it 15 years later. You know how I felt about that. But she did. She took it back. And basically, that message said, "You know, Edwin, you waited long enough for me to get this that I decided I'd rather have something else." Whenever we take gifts back, having rejected them, that can mean a couple of things. Sometimes it just means, hey, it was the wrong size. I got to get the size that fits me. Sometimes it might mean, hey, it was the wrong color. It doesn't quite fit my tastes. Sometimes it just means, hey, I just don't want it. It doesn't fit with what I want and how I want to live and my lifestyle. And so we reject it and we take it back. You know, interestingly, the biggest shopping day of the year is, of course, Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. The second biggest shopping day is the day after Christmas, when 75% of people are taking their gifts back because they have decided, this isn't what I want. Sadly, there are a whole bunch of people that look at the gift that God has given them and they say the exact same thing. It doesn't fit my life. It doesn't fit how I want to live. It doesn't fit where I want to go. And so they turn away from it. They reject it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 through 24, we see those who took that approach among the Jews and the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. In 1 Corinthians 1, 22, it says, Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So for the Jews, God's gift was a stumbling block. They just simply couldn't fathom the idea of God coming in the form of man and living in this world as a man and then dying on the cross. It was a stumbling block. It was something that they stumbled over. And the Gentiles, as they were looking for wisdom, that was just folly to them. The idea of a God who would die on the cross, that just makes absolutely no sense. And so the message of the gospel didn't fit with their lives. And so they turned away from it. They threw it away. They rejected it. It didn't fit what they wanted. And so they're going to take it back. Will you do that with God's gift? The second option we could have is to procrastinate. You know, in the past few years, what has become the number one gift that's being given and shared among people? Gift cards. Aren't gift cards awesome? I have absolutely no idea what you want, and I don't want you to reject the gift I give you, so I give you a gift card so that I can pay for whatever it is that you wanted. It's a wonderful thing. Are you aware, though, until just a few years ago, there was a little bit of a contractual problem with those things? Up until a few years ago, most gift cards had a time limit on them. And if you didn't use them in a set period of time, they would start charging you a fee, sometimes $1 a month. And there were some people that put off because they weren't sure exactly what they wanted. They weren't sure exactly how they wanted to spend that card and what they wanted to use it on. And so they hung on to it and hung on to it until they found that exact perfect thing at the store that that gift card went to. And then finally they went to use it and they found out they didn't have enough on there because they had waited too long. Now, I understand that consumers pitched a fit, and most gift cards don't do that anymore. But that's what some people do with the gift of God. They know that it's there, and yes, someday that's exactly what I'm going to do. I am going to pursue God, and I'm going to pursue the sacrifice that He offered, and I'm going to allow Him to wash my sins away. But right now, I've got other things that I want to do with my life. I want to sow my wild oats. I want to pursue this. I want to make sure that I make it big and that I accomplish all these goals, and then I'll turn to the Lord and allow Him to forgive me. And so many procrastinate and put it off. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, we learn about God and His love for us. It says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is patient with us, and He is waiting and longing for all to be saved. But notice what it says in Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, a parable of the barren fig tree that Jesus told. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 6, Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. Our Lord is patient. And our Lord is patient beyond those who are around us. He has great patience. But His patience is not eternal. A day of judgment is coming. And sadly, for those who procrastinate, they may not realize that it's the fourth year. And waiting much longer, well, waiting much longer means you get cut down. Judgment comes. You know, the other very interesting thing about gift cards, and the reason why I'm convinced that most stores like to use gift cards, is because there's a good number of gift cards that get put in a drawer and never get used. The store gets your money and you never get anything out of it. And sadly, that's what very often happens with those who procrastinate. If they don't go ahead and accept the salvation of Jesus, thinking that they're going to pursue it sometime down the road, once they've gotten married or raised their kids or gotten successful on their job or accomplished whatever it is that they want to come first. The fact is, the more you put it off, the harder it is to pursue it. And sometimes that offer, even though we claim we're going to pursue it down the road, just gets tucked in a drawer somewhere and forgotten about. Don't procrastinate. The gospel is the only thing that will save, and today is the day of salvation. Pursue God's gift. Is this what you'll do with God's gift? A third option we have with gifts: put it on the hidden wall. Now, let me explain what that means. When I was in college at Wichita, Kansas, at Wichita State University, I lived with an older brother and sister, Bob and Jean Allen. By the way, it's Bob's fault that I'm preaching today. So if you want to be upset at somebody, he's the guy. I can tell you the story. But I was living with Bob and Jean Allen, and he came across, and I don't know if this was a gift that somebody gave him, or if it was a gift that he tried to give his wife, or if it was a gift that he bought himself. But he had this picture, and if I remember it correctly, it was these two caricatured cows that were kissing. And I don't remember if the horns made a heart or the tails wrapped around and made a heart. I can tell you this, probably none of you would want it hanging in your house. But Bob wanted it hanging in his house. Gene, however, did not. And so they came up with a compromise. It got placed on the hidden wall. It got hung in the house, but the only time you would ever see it is if you entered the house from the back door. That was the only way you were going to see it. And then, if you entered the house looking towards the dining room, you'd still miss it, because it was tucked on the stairs going down into the basement. And so, both of them got what they wanted. Bob got it hung in his house, and Jean got what she wanted. Almost nobody ever saw it. That's what sometimes we do with those gifts. We put them on the hidden wall where nobody can see it. And sadly, that's what some people do with this gift that Jesus has offered, that God has given to us through the blood of His Son. We want the heaven. We want to go to heaven when we die, but we don't want very many people to know about it. We don't want to look weird. We don't want to look like those Jesus freaks and Bible thumpers. And so we kind of keep it under wraps that we're serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want all the things that God has to offer. We just don't want anybody else to know about it so that they'll think weird things about us. Matthew chapter 10 talks about this. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." If we want to be a part of the secret service in the Lord's army, what Jesus explains is He will not acknowledge us before the Father. We need to recognize that this is a wonderful gift. It's nothing to be ashamed of. And if folks think weird things about us, that's their problem. That's not our problem. We've got the greatest gift of all, the gift that came from the King of the universe. We need to shine the light on it so that all can see it, not tuck it back behind the back door where only the few who are closest to us, who we go to church with, that they know that we're connected to Christ. This is something that we need to be shining forth so that others can see the wonders of the gift that God has given us. Some people take their gifts and put them on the hidden wall. Will you do that with God's gifts? Another thing that we can do is use it for show. This is kind of the exact opposite of that last one. Some folks want to hide the relationship. Others want to use a gift just for show. Have you ever seen the movie A Christmas Story? Now, I can only recommend that edited for language version that they used to show on TBS when I was a kid. But you know, the movie about the little kid Ralphie that wanted the BB gun and you'll shoot your eye out and all of that. You remember the gift that he got from his aunt? the pink bunny rabbit outfit? I'm just going to let you think about that for a minute. Okay, now come back to the sermon. What did he do with that gift? That was a gift that was tucked away in the drawer until the aunt came to visit. Then we bring it out just when the aunt is here to make sure that we put it on for show so that this particular person can see it. Some people, that's exactly what they do with the gift of God. They don't really want God's gift, but they do want the things that perhaps it can benefit them in some ways. I especially think about those who use the gospel merely as a means for financial gain. Those businessmen who make sure to put a fish on their card or a cross on their sign. I remember I used to go to the Early Bird Cafe in Beaumont, Texas, get some coffee there. And I remember as I would try to talk to the baristas who were there, who became some of my good friends in the area. And Melinda, as she would say, you know, I know when I'm about to get gypped because they hand me a card, it's got a fish on it. Isn't that sad? And yet I have to tell you, I remember going to a used car dealer and I heard him cussing with his co-workers and telling dirty jokes. But when we walked into his office for him to try to sell us a car, there was John 3:16 in a picture frame and a Bible on the desk. Some people just using the gospel as show. We must not use the gospel in that way. We must not use God's gift just for show, just to impress the right kinds of people, to try to open the doors, to try to rub elbows with the influential Christians, or to just have financial gain. We need to remember what it says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We need to understand that the gospel is the gift that needs to change every aspect of our lives. It's what governs our lives, whether other Christians are around or not. It's what governs our lives, whether we're at school, in the business world, at work, or at home by ourselves. It's what governs everything we do. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Again, as we've said before, I'll just remind you, that doesn't mean that you pull out your day planner and do your spiritual activities first and now you can do whatever. The idea of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is the idea of making that the governing principle that oversees every choice of the day. Not just when we're around other Christians, not just when we're around people that we're hoping to impress, but what governs us all the time. Some people use the gift of God just for show. What will you do with God's gift? Some folks accept it half-heartedly. I went through a major life change about 20 years ago. About 20 years ago, I had to start buying my own clothes. That changed my life. You see, after that point, when I was spending my money on my clothes, when birthdays or Christmas came around and I got clothes, it was exciting. It was wonderful. Oh, good. I don't have to spend money on it. But before that, when the clothes box got put under the tree or on the birthday table, I mean, look, my parents have to buy clothes for me anyway. Why do they have to waste a birthday gift on it? Right? See, they thought, and I understand this now, awesome, I'm killing two birds with one stone. It's a gift, and I'm giving them clothes. I like nice clothes, and I always like to be wearing good clothes, and I appreciated the fact. But boy, when the little clothes, and you guys know what a clothes box looks like, even when it's wrapped up, right? I mean, you can tell. I mean, oh, this is a shirt. And of course, we know what we have to do is we have to put on the smile and I hold it up so they can take the picture and then toss it aside to look for something cooler. And that's sometimes what we do with the gospel. I mean, certainly we like the aspect of going to heaven and we love the blessing of the forgiveness of sin, but really, we just kind of half-heartedly accept it. We want to do just enough to be able to be with God forever, but boy, we don't want to go too far with this. Let's not let it change our lives completely. even on some of the most basic things. We might show up for an assembly during the week, maybe two, but good night. Please don't ask me to do something during the week, like come on a Wednesday night class or be a part of a house-to-house group or have a study at someone's house. And please don't ask me to give my Saturday to go rake leaves at a widow's house. I mean, I've got too much to do. I want the gift. Sure, I want the gift, but I got some other things that I want to make sure to pursue in my life first. And so we kind of half-heartedly accept that gift instead of allowing it to completely change us. Think about what John wrote to the church at Laodicea in the book of Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, John writes to this church and says, Revelation 3:14, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich and white. White garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Here were those that were lukewarm, who had been impacted by their society and were not allowing the gospel to fully affect their lives. What Jesus says is, I don't want lukewarm Christianity. I want extreme Christianity. I want the gospel to change your life. This is an amazing gift. And rather than accepting it half-heartedly, we need to accept it with gusto. In fact, that leads us to the final thing. And that is to accept it and make it part of our lives. I have to tell you, one of the greatest gift givers I know is my wife, Marita. She is an awesome gift giver. She has given just some of the greatest gifts throughout our marriage. Not long after we got married, she gave me these little fold-out maps that go along with the Lord of the Rings, with the Hobbit book and with the Lord of the Rings books. I love them. And then, sometime later, she snuck them off and got them framed. And so those get put up either in the house or in the office everywhere we go. If you've been to my house, you've seen that. Love those. Then there was a time that for the boys, we were getting these aluminum swords. Some friends of ours that we had met had started this business where they were making these aluminum swords. And I got to tell you guys, very cool. Because when you sword fought with your kids, they actually made noises like swords. I mean, it sounded like swords rather than those plastic things that break that fast. Awesome. I mean, they hurt. But it was worth it. And I knew the boys were getting those. But what I didn't know is that there was one stuck behind the tree for me. I used to keep it. It had a belt that went around with it and a scabbard. Used to keep it hanging on the bed so that any time one of the boys needed a beating, it was easy to get to until somebody broke it. But it was great. They were so much fun. Some of the greatest gifts, though, were like this little box. It was a little circular box, and there was a lot of writing on it. It was for a Father's Day one year. And you open it up, and it had all this. Kind of. What on earth is this? A little teddy bear, a stick of chewing gum, a little Band-Aid. But then there was a little sheet of paper that explained, we've given you this teddy bear because you're huggable. And we've given you this Band-Aid because you're our dad and you fix our boo-boos. And we've given this chewing gum because it shows how we stick together. This is when the kids were little. But it was... That one kind of snuck up on you, didn't it? But I've got it out in my office. And every once in a while I pull that out and look at it. And another one was a scrapbook that she had that had pictures of my dad and his dad. And me when I was a kid with him and then with my kids. And it's just a wonderful memory. And every once in a while I go into where we keep those books and pull that out and remember that. Just wonderful gifts. Those are the kind of gifts that you accept into your life and you love them and you use them and they become something meaningful and special. And that's what the gift from God is, times 100. And there are all these other things that we can do with God's gift, or we can do this. We can accept it and make it part of our lives. It can be something that changes us because of the love that it shows. It can be something that directs our path because we recognize how wonderful it is. It's not something to accept half-heartedly. It's not something to put on just for show or to hide on the hidden wall. It's not something to procrastinate with, and it's definitely not something to reject. It's something to embrace and to pull to ourselves and to allow it to be something special that we want to share with people, that we put on display. When you go into my office, you'll see that little circular box sitting there. That's what the gospel is. Sadly, not many will accept God's gift in that way. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." Not many will accept God's gift in that way. But I encourage you to think about what Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, as Paul considered the gift of God, he said, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul understood that gift, and he understood how amazing that gift was. And he accepted it, and he embraced it, and he allowed it to change his life. My question is, what will you do with God's gift? Will you pull out your songbooks, please, if you're going to be using those tonight? "Nothing But the Blood" is going to be the song this evening. If you're going to be using the songbook, it's number 902, "Nothing But the Blood." God has given us an amazing gift that far outstrips anything anybody has ever given us for any celebration, for any birthday, for any holiday. Far outstrips anything we've ever had. And he has bestowed that through the blood of his Son. It was the only thing that would work. I know people often ask the question, why on earth would God create a world where he knew that people were going to end up turning away from him and going into sin and end up being separated from him forever in hell? Why would he do that? The question that astounds me more is, why on earth would God make a world where the only way he could fix that would be to sacrifice his Son for us? Because that's what he did. He made a world knowing we'd turn away from him and knowing that the only way he could fix it was to give Jesus nothing but the blood. I have to tell you, there must be something awesome and amazing about eternity with God that he felt like that was worth it. Something that I just can't fathom or imagine. And sometimes we sit back and struggle and we say to God, though maybe not verbally, but subconsciously, "Hey God, what have you done for me lately?" And God says, "I gave you my Son. God, don't you still care for me?" And he says, "I gave you my Son." What a gift. You have an opportunity tonight to do something with that gift. What will you do with it? Can we encourage you to embrace it? If you have not accepted the gift that God has offered, Jesus says, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Accept that gift of salvation. Turn to him and surrender to him. Or have you let the gift kind of tarnish and get stuck back in the drawer and you need to pull it out and shine it off and show it off to folks around you? Do you need us to help you with that? Whatever you need spiritually when it comes to God's gift, if we can help you tonight, won't you please come forward right now as we stand and sing?